We love them, but they can be difficult sometimes, can't they? I think with almost 6.5 decades alive on this planet, I have yet to encounter the perfect family. And so sometimes we need a wider support network, an extended family, God's family. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as today we take another look at your family from a different perspective. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about all different aspects of our families in this series that I've called Family, when things don't turn out quite the way you'd hoped. We all sometimes look at our own family situations and wonder what we have gotten ourselves into and why is it so hard? And some days, why are our family members so difficult? On and on and on, right? No matter how blessed you are through your family, there are times when your thinking heads down that path. We look at all those other apparently perfect families out there and wonder to ourselves, why am I having so many problems? Why is this so hard? We think at this point that we're Robinson Crusoe, that we're the only person on the planet that's going through what we're going through. Why is my husband so difficult? Why doesn't he get it? Or why is she so emotional? Can't she just think through it logically for once in her life? Or when it comes to our children, is he ever going to grow out of this? Is she ever going to turn out all right? Why can't they just do as they're told for once? And for those who are single, for those whom we talked about yesterday, who are part of the mounting statistic of single-person households across the globe, if only I had some more people around me who I could talk to, who understand. Those pressures mount up and mount up, and unless we have people to share them with, people who've been there, people who aren't directly involved and yet understand and care, the pressures can become unbearable. One of the things that God's Word talks a lot about is His family, the church. Now, I know that many people have had bad experiences at church. We all have, in fact, truth be known. And the reason is that there aren't any perfect families on the planet. And God's family is no different. In fact, because it's so much bigger than our immediate family, there are many more imperfect people in it to frustrate us and to annoy us and some days to hurt us. People often look at the church and they imagine that it's like, you know, Noah's Ark, two perfect specimens of each type. But that's not it. It's not like walking into a zoo and seeing the perfect family of lions in this enclosure and the perfect family of monkeys in that enclosure and the perfect family of deer in that enclosure. Think more train wreck. Think more hospital emergency ward with people being patched up. Think rehabilitation ward as people learn to walk again and to talk again. God's family, the church, is jam-packed full of sinners saved by grace. People, frankly, who look very much like you and me. They're all different. They all have different strengths and weaknesses. Here's the picture that the Apostle Paul paints of this large and very imperfect family. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, you see, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them just as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honourable we clothe with greater honour, and our less respectable members are treated with great respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honour to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually you are members of it. That's a really powerful picture. People with different abilities and different attributes and different weaknesses See, my weakness is probably your strength. I don't have a pastoral bone in my body, but you're able to visit people in hospital and sit with them for hours as they recover, or perhaps as they die. You may not be much of a public speaker, whereas I'm able to stand up in front of a group of 5 people or 50,000 people and open the scriptures in a way that changes people's lives. Does it make sense for my inability to do what you can do to get you upset or vice versa? No. And in that family, in God's family, there are people who've been through what you're going through in your life. There are older women there for the younger wives who've seen their difficult teenagers grow up into apparently normal, effective adults. Older women who can encourage you and share some wisdom with you if you're a young mother struggling, juggling work and family. There are older men for you young guys who don't know where your life is headed, who have enough grey hair and life experience to sit with you and share with you. There are people who've been through marriage breakdown and divorce and come out the other side who can hold and comfort those who are struggling through that terrible time right now. See, that's why the Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful, and let us consider how to provoke one another to love and to good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need to get together, to meet together. In this world where communities are fragmenting, where extended families have been replaced by nuclear families, where people have more time to spend on social media than with each other, we need to get together and form bonds and relationships that sustain us through all that. Some days I'll be able to encourage you with a hug or a few words of wisdom, or just a smile, for goodness sakes. And other days, you will be able to encourage me or inspire me or show me that God has a plan for my life. Years ago, when I was in the army, I was stationed to a remote ammunition depot. It was a cold, miserable hole, and its only saving grace was a rather lavish officer's mess with a huge roaring fire. Now, because it was a coal town, we would often burn coal in the fireplace. Coal burns with such incredibly intense heat. And every now and then, a piece of coal would tumble out of the fire and lie on the large piece of stone flooring in front of the fireplace. But within just a few minutes, this burning, hot, glowing red piece of coal would turn black. Within half an hour, it was cool enough to be picked up, and within an hour, it was stone cold. Right there, you have the picture of a Christian who neglects meeting with other Christians, as in this day and age, so many are prone to do. As difficult as they can be sometimes, families are about getting support and encouragement and inspiration. They're about making sure that we don't grow cold in our faith. They're about making sure that the fire that's burning in our hearts for Jesus doesn't go out. Hey, God's family is part of God's plan for you. It's going to make you a better father, mother, husband, wife, son, daughter, and friend. It's going to support you when you're going through difficult times, and like any family, it's going to help you to learn to play nice with others and get over what you're going through and grow up and be a mature follower of Jesus Christ. Do not neglect meeting with one another, as is the habit of some. Yeah, life can be hard work some days. And as that daily grind just kind of grinds away at us, it's easy to forget that Jesus died and rose again to give us victory, victory over our sin and over our circumstances, victory. That's why every video message that we record here at Christianity Works is available on our YouTube channel. The daily fresh devotional videos, the weekly in-depth half-hour Christianity Works teaching, and even some in-the-moment close-to-the-action videos that I shoot now and then. They're all available on our YouTube channel at ChristianityWorks.tv. Just subscribe to the channel and you'll be notified each time a new video is posted. It's simply amazing how powerfully the Spirit of God can move even through just a short video message. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. After all, the Word of God is alive and active. Amen. I'd love to encourage you to live your life in victory. So again, the web address of our YouTube channel is ChristianityWorks.tv. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time Monday, with a different perspective.